Hello, hello, hello. It is Tuesday night. And I'm really excited this week. You thought I was excited last week? Well, this week it's going to be off the chain. I'm so excited. It's Tuesday and it is my favorite time of the year. Time of the week. We get four Tuesdays a month and four of them is my show, and I get to share with you and play with you, and I'm always so happy and excited to have my show. And so tonight is a very, very special show because I have a very, very special guest. I'm honored to have him on my show, Mr. David Thiergartner. Say that right. And also, we're going to be talking about interior design. So before we get to that, I just want to give you a taster, you know, cliffhanger. Before we get to that, I just want to tell you a little bit about my week, you know, what I've been up to and like what's been going on and everything. And so it's so weird because it seems like every time I have a show, I didn't have a divorce last week, but every time I have a show, it seems like something in the realm of the show always shows up. So I have never been to the Architectural Digest show at the Pier before ever, but on Saturday I got an invitation to go to the Architectural Digest show, and it was really good. I mean it was like overwhelming because there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of kitchens, a lot of furniture, a lot of, you know, crafts and arts and textiles and stone and all kinds of metal and stainless steel and everything that you could possibly want to have in your home. And what it does for me is like going to this show, it just makes me realize I'm poor. It's really messy, but it does. It really makes you feel like, oh, God, I'm so poor. Because you see these wonderful kitchens and they're like, you know, $100,000 and they're just so beautiful. I mean, like, absolutely beautiful. And then I look at the kitchen and I think, oh, that's really a beautiful kitchen. But then it's the size of my whole apartment. So, you know, you sort of think about having this new kitchen, but then you think, oh, it's not going to fit. I need a whole new house, you know? And what else did I see there? Oh, bathtubs and, oh, just beautiful rugs, which would be the size of my apartment, you know? So, you know, going to these shows, yes, they're very, very inspiring, and but it just makes you realize you need to make more money, right? Fast. Bring it fast. So that's what I did. Today I had my lunch and learn with Narbo, which lunch and learn is an hour and a half of learning about something that can help you grow your business. So today it was from possibilities to profitability, and it was led by Miss Ivy Slater, and I curated that, and it was wonderful. The turnout was incredible. It was great. I had a fantastic time. So anyway, that was just a little bit about what's going on in my week, what's going on in my weekend. And if you're online right now, you can't see me because the Facebook Live is down, but it will be up shortly. This is not good, you know, because David looks really good. He looks really good, and you're just missing out on all this yumminess. So, David, welcome to the show.
Oh, my God. What an introduction. I don't think I've quite ever had one like that before.
Well, you never know what you can get with me.
Yeah, that's true. I just want to comment on what you said about going to the Architectural Digest show. Uh-huh. I mean, it's all true, I think, you know, as far as that they're showing the best of the best. And right. And they're trying to get people excited about all the different products that you can have for the home. Right. But, you know, I've been an interior designer for 25 years mm-hmm. plus, and I have worked all over the country.
Right.
And I've been in all the remarkable homes. Uh-huh. And I love going to my home.
Right.
Which is not a duplex penthouse apartment on Fifth Avenue,
which is like 3,500 or 40,000 right. square feet.
You know what I mean? So I think that that we always have to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. You know, that home is not necessarily, home is where our heart is,
right?
As an old song lyric would say, and not necessarily anything other than that.
Right. And as you say, home is, the best designs start at home, right?
Well, I think it has everything to do with our whole life.
Right.
Right. And that's probably where you and I have a lot in common, mm-hmm. you know. I believe that I believe that homes are, well, I believe that homes are everything.
Right.
But it's certainly like painting a portrait. You know, you're doing it with furniture and objects and walls and windows. Mm-hmm. But we're painting a portrait of our soul, of our family, of our heart,
right,
of our being, right? And that's what how our home is represented through us and the choices and the decisions and the life that we live and lead.
So when you said that, like it's our homes, and I'm thinking, oh, it's our heart, right? I'm thinking my heart must be the size of a Grinch because my apartment is small. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I actually love the size of my apartment. And I have been in like apartments and homes at like 5,000, 6,000 square feet. I went to a friend's home in Malibu. Absolutely gorgeous. Amazing gardens, all kinds of plants and fruits and vegetables and stuff. And huge, humongous house, literally. Their bedroom was the size of my whole apartment. And I left my hoodie somewhere in that house and I could not find it. And the sheer immensity of this house, I just said, to hell with the hoodie, man. I am not going to climb these stairs. I'm not going to walk around these halls and try to find it. So, you know, I think that to have a huge home, you have to be ready for that. That's a lot of work, you know? And so, but you get to decorate these things. You get to clothe, well, I look at it like clothing them, right?
Well, yes. Interior designers are reluctant to say decorate because that has a different kind of connotation to
it. Tell us the difference.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference, right? So interior designers, of which I am and my company is based on, we're building homes, we're gut renovating apartments. Mm-hmm. You know, the projects are 2 years long, 18 months long. I have a project in San Francisco that is 3 years long. We use decorators as a way of describing HGTV, perhaps. Maybe the lady in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Right? To be political. But there is a difference. And it's not about picking a fabric. It's not about picking a paint color. It goes much deeper and much more detailed and much more difficult than that.
Okay. So interior design.
And we're a little sensitive about
I got that. I really, really got that.
We really are.
So interior
design.
Mm. So you are actually, you're working from the ground up, would you say?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you go into a house, you might have to tear things down or tear it apart, right? Yeah.
Well, i.e. the Architectural Digest show. In other words, they're showing ranges and refrigerators and toilets and tile because we're going to gut renovate, we're going to recreate, we're going to rebuild either an existing place or we're going to build it new.
Right.
And an interior designer is a part of a team with the architect and the client and the contractor and stuff to create that vision from the ground up.
Right. So now, if you're working with the contractor, the architect, and you're the designer, right? So you're working closely with an architect, right?
Well, actually, I'm in my role, and I'm sure every interior designer has a different view on this, but my role is to be next to the client. Right. I am the client's best friend during that process, right? And not only to try to interpret the technical language that the architect is throwing at them and the building information that the general contractor is, I'm trying to make sure that that is something that the client understands, something that the client wants, and something that we're understanding together as we go forward in the process.
Right.
So it is also that the client has entrusted in me a vision of what we are building together. Right. And I am supposed to express through them and through me to the architect and to the general contractor what that vision ultimately is going to look like.
And so where would a decorator, if at all, come in?
Well, again, I mean, so I am a decorator too, I guess I would say, to take all the snobbiness out of the distinction, which is not what I'm trying to imply. I mean, we will put the toilet paper on the toilet paper holder. We will make sure the drapes are exactly what it is.
Right.
But the process to get to that, the process to get to the toilet paper is a 2-year, 3-year process of design of artistry, of creativity, of interpretation, of methodology, of everything it takes to create a project.
Right. So now I get it. Like, so now I see when you see something in a magazine that's an Architectural Digest magazine, you go, oh, that looks really good, but I'm only seeing one aspect of it. I might only be seeing the drapes, or I might only be seeing the couch. I'm not seeing how that the drapes are laid onto that wall to give that effect, right? Or how the couch can fit into a certain area, because I'm not seeing all the foundational stuff that has been done prior to actually placing those elements.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's very well said. And then I'll add to that, that my job is to make sure you see what we want you to see.
Right.
My job is to make sure that you walk into a home and that you are focused exactly on what I want you to see first, what I want you to see second,
right,
what I want you to see third,
right,
and how I want you to discover that home, that family, that person, that art,
right,
all of that sort of stuff.
Much like when I went to your house.
Yes. Did you discover things in
my
house?
Yeah, I did. I discovered great things in your house, and I really loved it. I mean, like, the little things that I did discover, I took pictures of them because I thought they were so beautiful.
And it took you a while to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
In other words, so what I think of HGTV is that, oh, let's, and let me tell you, this is a gross exaggeration,
okay,
right?
Let's be gross and exaggerate.
But
so
in other words,
they
go, oh, let's paint this wall orange,
uh-huh,
right? No. Right. In other words, my big philosophy, my big design philosophy is discovery.
Right.
Right. I want you, like you did at my house, to be there for a while.
Right.
Maybe be there for a day.
Right.
Maybe be there for 2 days and say to me.
I think we were there for three, right?
Well, you might have been. And and say to me, oh, my God, you know, I have been sitting here for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just finally understanding what the relationship is to this, to that, and to the whole home.
Right.
And it's like, and you, like, you came to me like you were sort of, you know, betwixt, bothered, and, you know, not built, bewildered,
right,
but that you, like, you got that there was this whole storyline that, uh-huh, you weren't supposed to know right away.
No.
And I think there's an art to it. I think homes are, or interior design in homes, it's like creating a portrait, right? But we're using furniture and objects and windows and floors and walls instead of a paintbrush and paint.
Yeah,
right?
It is. And that's why it'll never work. I put together once this book pyramid. You ever see those, like, book pyramids that people put together? And it's just...
You mean a real pyramid?
No, it's like a book. You know, it's like your book's kind of freestanding, but it's decorative and it looks really good. And I tried to do that, and oh, my God, it was just like a pile of books just thrown on the, coffee table on the floor. It doesn't work.
So, I mean, I think that goes back to why people are paralyzed or fearful of interior design, right? I think they're fearful of representing themselves,
right,
in the space because they think, oh, God, my idea of it's going to be horrible, right? But I'm not sure that's the way that we should look at it. I mean, I think being afraid of expressing what you think is beautiful is something we should get past.
Absolutely. And I think what I'm hearing is that being able to express what is beautiful with the aid of an interior designer is much more effective.
So why is that, right? Because I have 25 years of experience,
yes,
right? I know how to build a book pyramid.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And plus, and better yet, I can tell you what I want. I might see it as a book pyramid, but I might actually want something else.
Right.
And
that's...
so what you're able to do is to help me get the thing that I didn't know I wanted.
And that is the everyday calling. That is the, I wake up in the morning,
right,
ready to interpret, ready to understand, ready to try to express a thought and a feeling,
mm-hmm,
that they can't express for themselves.
Right.
And give them something. There's nothing more exciting than giving them something that they didn't think that they wanted.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we have to take a break. On that note, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Okay, so we're back. This is Noreen Sumter. You missed the introduction, but here we are. We are live and direct, and we are on camera. And look how gorgeous David is. He's just so delicious. So we're talking today with David Thiergarda, who is an interior designer. And we just talked about the difference between an interior designer and a decorator. He is not a decorator. Okay, get that straight. So, David, can you tell us a little bit about you? You know, so then we'll go back into all the other. Tell us a little bit. Where are you from? You know, you, how long have you been doing this for? 25 years. How did you get to this place?
Well, there's a very funny, like folklore, I guess, or story that my dear friends like to tell. But when I first moved to New York, I would say I was from Hollywood, California. I'm actually from Covina, California, which is about 15 miles east of Hollywood, California. My dad was a printer and worked a lot for the movie studios and stuff. So that was a big part of Hollywood was a big part of our life. But I'm from L.A., theoretically, and I moved here in 83, which I guess is like 35 years ago, right, if you really think about
it. I came in 85.
Yeah, Lord. And so it goes fast.
It does.
And what I don't know. What do you want to say? I met my husband in 84, like 6 months after I moved here.
Nice.
And you know, we've had this incredible New York life, you know, that I don't think either one of us ever imagined.
Right.
Certainly didn't think that it would be possible, which is one of the exciting things about being a New Yorker.
Okay.
Because the world is possible.
Absolutely.
Right? I think we used to think that way about America. Right? But we don't want to get political when we're
still
talking
about that. We're talking about beauty, not yellow
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. So anyway, but so that my, I think the big story is that my grandparents owned a furniture store, and that I was raised in that environment. My grandmother had a beautiful home that even as a young child I was fascinated by. And then my grandfather took me into the garden, you know. And we worked in the garden together, and a gardening is a big passion of mine.
Lovely garden.
Interiors are a big passion of mine because, as you were saying, there's something about beauty that has always motivated me. I think it's my big motivation every day. I seek beauty every day. I see beauty every day. I think, again, it's one of the reasons why I love New York so much, because I can get on the subway, and I think the subway is one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Oh, you do, too. I love the subway.
I do, and I
got all excited to see that.
I don't think there's a lot of people who agree with us, but I do, because I see amazing people every day. And it excites me. But then I think everything else is beautiful, too.
Right.
You know, I obviously think the architecture can be beautiful, and I can think that Central Park is beautiful, you know. So, but I see beauty in almost everything.
Right.
And I certainly seek it out. It's very important to me. It fills my heart. It fills my soul. And I go towards it every day as much as I can.
So beauty is something that you've always seek out. Like, your grandmother had a really beautiful home. Your father was big in the garden. You're huge in the garden as well. You have an amazing garden. You have an amazing home. And so, like, where did you get your start? Like, did you just jump into interior? Is this something that you wanted to do? Did you know that you wanted to do this? Or did you choose it, or it choose you?
But, so you want to talk about the family stories? Is that what we're going to do?
We can hit on that quickly.
So the big family story, I think, is one. I just used to love being in the store. And unfortunately, when you're like a young person or a teenager, my grandfather was making me do deliveries. But what I really wanted to do was push the furniture around and do the windows of the store, right, of which I did do. But mostly we were putting, something on our back and putting it on a truck somewhere. Right. but in the same time, I love going into all the different homes, right, and seeing what that was. I was really fascinated by that. Now, it just so happens I want to see the homes of Paris and London and New York, mm-hmm, not those of LA. But, right, but it started with that. There. So the big story is that my husband went to get his graduate degree in North Carolina. I was trying to finish my undergraduate degree in classical music. It was getting close to the end of the year, and I was going to have to, perform the music that I learned that year. And mm-hmm, I'm sitting in the bathtub, which is still my want. Mm-hmm. I like to read in the bathtub. And I'm looking through all the House Beautiful magazines instead of reviewing the music, mm-hmm, that I'm going to sing in about 5 or 6 hours, mm-hmm, right? And so he comes into the bathroom as a passionate vocalist, right, singer, and going, what are you doing? You're going to sing all this music in 5 hours and you're looking at a stack of House Beautiful magazines. And that probably was the first sort of inkling that I was seeking out the wrong thing.
Right.
Certainly it made a huge impression on me that day. And it was, have you ever had the feeling that your hobby, You don't want to give up your hobby. You don't want to give up your love and turn it into work and turn it into something that you don't want to do. You know what I mean? It was so horrified, to try to mononize that. And, I wanted to keep it as my sacred little
thing
and relaxation and joy and all that. But that moment was probably a moment where I went. And then we got back to New York. We were living in New York, moved to North Carolina, came back. And my best friend Tony said, hey, there's this new home furnishing store down in the Flatiron District, mm-hmm, called ABC Carpet and Home. And they're doing this new home furnishing thing. You so belong there. Mm-hmm. So that's funny because my best friend had a better understanding of what I was supposed to be than even I did, which I think is pretty commonplace,
yes,
right?
That's why people have coaches, because you can't see your own eyeballs.
You can't see, right? Yeah, and you had this goal that you had to make, and mm-hmm, you had to, I was going to be a vocalist and a singer and stuff like that. Anyway, sure enough, I got hired. I got hired as, I don't even know, a salesperson, I guess. Became general manager. I don't remember what the chain was, and became an assistant buyer, then a junior buyer, then a buyer, then a senior buyer. And all of a sudden, I'm traveling the world and developing product. And, creating.
And singing while you're doing it.
Well, no, I kind of, a little
I'm,
bit.
I'm just
but
singing
kinda
to yourself.
Singing to myself. Well, I still sing to myself. Somebody just said to me, are you singing today? I go, I guess I am. but anyway, that ABC, I was at ABC 6-7 years. That gave me that, what I call a confident moment. Mm-hmm. I tell the kids all the time, it's a moment when you realize that you're in it. You know what you're doing, and it's exciting, and this is how you should go forward. Mm-hmm. This is it. It's showing mm-hmm. itself. So that was it. And then ABC became a little corporate. I'm not very good at corporate living, right? And I remember I was probably 30 at that point, and some young kid from Bloomingdale's who just got hired said, you're open to buy is wrong, and you're not doing the right thing. And I said to him, I go, I created a $3 million business out of nothing, and you're coming and telling me that I'm not doing it right? So, and so then I decided I should have my own business and do something else.
And so,
there's the journey.
Great. That's awesome. And that's what we want to hear, because most people think that you wake up one night, and in the morning you just fall into this career and there's like no pain and there's no stress and there's none of that stuff. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're this wonderful interior designer who is like in all the magazines, and they think it happens overnight. But like, success is not created overnight. It takes a lifetime to actually get to that success that people, there's an adage that says, take
30 years to become an overnight success.
Yeah, it takes 30 years to become an overnight
success. Well, I'm 25, so I'm almost there. Yeah.
So now you're out on your own with this business.
Oh, yeah. So, well, that was, I had partners at different points. I had two partners and I had one partner, and all of that was great. I have no regret. It is a conversation about creating a business and how many partners you should have and all that sort of stuff. But in the end result, I'm the owner, and it's mine, and I love it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wondered, I'm having so much fun now. Mm-hmm. I'm literally like giggling with just how much fun I have,
right.
and the joy that I get from my own business so many years later. Mm-hmm. And also I think, you and I have talked about age. Age is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Maturity is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm more passionate. I'm probably more creative. I'm probably more capable today than I've ever been in that whole period of time.
Right.
And that's it's exciting for me.
Great. And so would you say you're more excited now? Like, this is what I heard you say. You're more excited now today than you've ever been in your life.
100%. 1,000%. And what does that get translated into? Incredibly better relationship with your clients. Mm-hmm. An incredible better sense of yourself, so I can hear better. I can listen better. I can interpret better. Mm-hmm. I can understand what they're asking of me mm-hmm. better than I ever had before. And all of that just makes for better business, mm-hmm. better daily joy, better excitement, and then
and more expansive creativity.
And expansive creativity. Like, I'm not afraid to be wacky.
Right.
Now, the thing about creativity is that we know that we go to our outer limits, mm-hmm. right? And kind of throw something out there, and then we edit it back.
Right.
And there's that diamond out of that rough sort of thought process.
I call it like a thick soup. It's like you throw all the vegetables, the water, the meat, whatever you're cooking, into the pot, and you just let it cook and cook and cook. But you're not going to eat the first hour. You're going to let it cook down to a thick gravy, which is luxurious and tasty. And you can, it's just like, it's like velvet. You can feel it. So I'm really getting, that's the sense of where you are now. You're like that thick soup where when it's over you just want to take your finger and scoop it around the pot and go, that was so good.
Think if you do it right.
That's right. Yeah. And so this conversation is so good, but we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Hello, this is Bruce Chamoff, host of The Web Design and Technology Coach. Join me and my guests every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. as we discuss the latest in web design, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and technology. We also discuss popular topics including WordPress, making money online, better Google rankings, and more. Every month, we also feature the best unsigned music from around the world, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live Life Your Way with David Thiergardner. Yum. Beautiful designs, wonderful energy, the most generous person, so creative, so loving. Thank you, David.
Wow. Thank you, Noreen. That's nice.
I love the best design starts at home. But I went through and cheated a little bit and went through your website, and there's other ones that say, nothing says home like a Thiergardner home.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, somebody wrote that. David Thiergardner Interior is known for its joyful, comfortable, and classical style.
Okay.
Timeless, high-end, award-winning NYC Manhattan-based interior designer known for his understanding of elegant interiors. And what else is there? It's also mentioned that you had discriminating clients. I want to know what that means. Discriminating clients.
Well, I think in the celebrity world that we live in, certainly we are at the epitome of celebrity in our country today. Everybody wants to know that. But yes, I've had great fortune in working with some incredible people. And it's been wonderful.
And that's all we're going to say about that.
I mean, yeah. So, but yes, it's been exciting, nerve-wracking as it is. And then you get used to it. You know, you start to understand it. But the early ones were a little scary. And then you just kind of move through them a little bit.
Right.
And,
you so know. What was it like in the beginning? Like, here you are, you've got all these ideas, you're excited, you know, piss and vinegar going on, and somebody hires you. What was it like when you got your first hire?
It was frightening as hell. I mean, and it wasn't at the same time. I mean, I think it's with everything, right? You know, your first time you get up to bat, you know, in Little League is about as frightening as it gets too. I don't know. I think I was horrified, is what I think. But at the same time, I had a developed idea. Not practice developed idea, but a developed idea what I thought was important.
Right.
What I thought looked good. Mm-hmm. What I thought made sense. What I thought was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I brought that to the table, even though I had no credentials necessarily to do that. Now, you know, with everything, there's salesmanship and there's design capability, there's business acumen, there's all these things that go into running your own business and running an interior design business, certainly. So I would think that maybe perhaps my skill as a salesman might have done me well in those early days versus my skill as an interior designer. And again, going back to before the break, that's what I love so much about today is because now my skills as an interior designer, you know, are the lead of my, you know, of my self-worth and everything that I do. I don't even need salesmanship because I so know and I so believe and I so have an understanding of what it should
and
be.
And you just know.
Right. So that's probably how I would describe it. But, you know, with anything that you start, you just go for it, you know. You just do. And, you know, I've never ignored my clients. I've always paid attention. There's a big myth out there that you hire an interior designer and then it's their way or the byway. No, it's a relationship. I'm a part of a team. We're trying to understand each other and we're trying to develop the most beautiful product that we can.
Right.
Right. So I learned a lot. My clients taught me a lot, you know. I'm very grateful to my wonderful clients.
That's great. That's awesome. I love that. I love the idea of people being grateful to their clients, because with what I say is my clients grant me being, right? Yeah. They give me, they put that cherry on the top of me saying that I am a personal life coach, because they add the personal to that personal life coach. They trust me. They grant me being. And so I don't take that lightly. I honor that. So I love it when people say they're very grateful to their clients, because no client, you know, if I don't have a client, I'm just Noreen Sumter coach, right? But I'm not a coach because I don't have any clients. You know, so I'm always grateful that they give me being, they grant me being, and I love that. So I have a couple of questions for you. Well, a couple of dozen questions came out for you.
Okay.
So I wanted to know, if you could go back in time, right, what era would you like to be an interior designer in? I always said I'd probably want to be in cavewoman time, because I don't have to do anything.
Oh, that's, nobody's ever asked me that question, so that's a great question. The caveman made me think, you know, the famous cave paintings in France, you know, that they discovered stuff. That was somebody's living room.
I know.
That wasn't like some cave. That was somebody decorating their living room.
Know.
You know, I always just like, you know, I want to do a whole hour long, you know, National Geographic about what the couch and everything looked like in the cave drawing room, right? In the cave drawing living room. That's an interior design joke, probably. Okay, so, yes. Well, as an interior designer, of course, you can appreciate and love all periods, right? Mm-hmm. Because you learn from them and you get excited by different things that are relevant to them, right? So, you know, I can go back. I love, you know, English Georgian period, right? And actually, it was very contemporary for the time, right? But for me, my aesthetic, my own personal sort of core, I love that 1930s, it will sound funny, police station, lawyer's office sort of thing, with the dark wood and the glass interior windows. That's always been sort of the old octagon floors. Mm-hmm. That's always been something that I've just been drawn to.
Okay.
So that would, if I would go back, I probably would go back to that. I don't want to live there, but I certainly would design there.
Yeah, yes. Okay, great. So, and I always say, like, so that was like your favorite era. What's your favorite era of, you just said, mentioned it, Georgian furniture. So what's kind of, what's your favorite textures? I like leather.
Okay. Well, I like leather too. I do like textures. I think they're textures. I don't tend to be a pattern guy. I tend to sort of stay away from patterns. I will use a pattern. I just did in San Francisco a pretty big one last week when I was there to be the main statement of the living room. The highly unusual for me. But what I do like are textures. So I like all of them. You know, I tend to be a naturalist. I go towards cotton and wool and linen and try to stay away from synthetic fibers and stuff like that. And I believe strongly in that. As my friend Darius would say, you know, there's nothing that lasts better than a wool oriental rug that's 100 years old. I mean, you just know that the natural fibers just live longer than the synthetic fibers do. So I think there's, I think they're much more elegant and they have much more luxury to them, but they also have much more durability to them. Yeah.
Cool.
And they're more expensive.
Why design?
Why design? Yeah. That's a good one too, right? Well, because every day is a challenge. I think I need that. I think, you know, for me, that's it. And then I get to go towards beauty. I know it sounds cliche, but, you know, when I was the president of my high school, I created the campus rebeautification project. So it's a big part of me, you know. I just think that if we had, well, one, I think we have tons of beauty in the world, and certainly here, probably all over America, but we need to spend more time with it.
Right.
And that's why I think creating homes that allow us to be in that space, to be in that sanctuary, to say, I want it to be beautiful, not just durable. I don't want it just to be for my dog and for my four-year-old kid who's going to knock over the lamp, but I want it to be beautiful for all of us.
Right.
there's a peace that comes to that. And there's a great joy that happens with that. And there's a big pride that happens when you create beauty. And so that's how I kind of spend my day.
And something came to mind when I went to the Architectural Digest event this weekend. One of the guys mentioned that when he was growing up, there was a living room that he could not go into, right? And I come from that as well. My mother's living room was, it was for company. It wasn't for us, right? So are people still designing in that way, or everything is open play?
I mean, that's so interesting because we could have a whole show on this, mm-hmm. and especially as a life coach. I mean, I think it's just so interesting. I mean, I have had clients in East Hampton say that they will not have floor lamps or table lamps because their grandchildren will knock them over. Mm-hmm. And I go back to the thought that my grandparents had this beautiful home of which we were more than welcome in, and they had table lamps and floor lamps and delicate things all over the place. And so I think it comes down to respect. Mm-hmm. You know, and certainly my clients, they have, you know, you have a one bedroom sort of thing. You know, they have 14 bedrooms and a basement for the kids to go in. And this idea that they can't teach their children, they can't teach their grandchildren to be respectful of the furniture and of the home that they've created is mind-boggling to me to this day.
Right.
So I think it's a balance of both. I certainly try to make homes that are good for the dog.
Right.
I try to make homes that are good for the kids, right? We try to make the decision on the fabric and on the rug, and we try to prioritize where all that happens.
Right.
Right? But there's got to be a room where they should be proud of and bring their friends to, and the grandkids too.
Right. Okay, great.
So I don't know that it has to be exclusive or without children. That I don't think I agree with that either.
Okay, so this is a good one. This is probably going to take a little
bit. This is another question?
Yeah, this is another question. Is how do you deal with people who think they know better than you, right? And they hired you to do the job. How do you manage those people?
Well, I think of my doctor all the time because I think doctors probably have the worst job in the world now, because I'm almost positive somebody gets online, puts in all of what is a problem, and then tells their doctor what the challenge is. So we have that same similar sort of situation. Well, so how do you do that? Well, you do that through, I put on my professor hat, mm-hmm. right? And I try to become more of an educator, right? And try to explain the whole overall vision mm-hmm. of what we're trying to accomplish, mm-hmm. and also scale and proportion Uh-oh. And color theory mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff. You know, that's what's in my head,
right?
Is the all that sort of things that I think about. Those are just two of the many things. You know, how many metal finishes, how many wood finishes, how many da da da. And so I try to help them understand that we're doing a much bigger thing
right.
than just what they're focused on with a certain table or a certain space.
Awesome. I like that a lot. So we're going to be right back in two flicks of a elephant's tail.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
and we're back. This is Doreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm with David Thiergardner from Thiergardner, David Thiergardner Interiors. So I have a question.
Oh, my. This is exciting.
What's the weirdest things that you've ever found in somebody's house?
Yeah, so, well, that's
voice,
a good...
The voice deepens.
Well, you know, so what happens as an interior designer mm-hmm. is that you are in their personal space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you, when you're, let's say, when you're designing the master bedroom suite and you're trying to decide how big her closet should be versus his closet and what he needs and what she needs and what drawer is going to be the underwear drawer and what drawer is going to be the sock drawer, you learn a lot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You discover a lot, mm-hmm. right? And things.
So, have you discovered?
Well, so you know, I think
stutter.
So I think the big surprise was the big hatchet axe. Uh-huh. You know, like almost like a fireman's axe that was perfectly placed in the bed rail on her side of the bed.
Okay.
Right. So, in other words. Her husband traveled a lot. I would think it was a fearful thing, uh-huh. but it was something like if you were in bed, laying in bed, you could grab and extract and use immediately. But it was just something kind of basic surprise.
But I'm thinking, isn't a hatchet heavy?
Yeah, I guess.
Or was this a ladies' one?
No, it was a pretty big hatchet. So, yeah, I'm sure they've tested it on something. I don't know. But so that was just an interesting thing to find. I found marriage disclosure. We can do this. You can. I can do that.
Okay.
Da-da-da sort of thing.
That's pretty good.
Right. You see all the other stuff, too. The intimate stuff. Uh-huh. You know, the lingerie. The box of condoms.
How many boxes of condoms?
A lot. Like, you know, drawers and drawers and drawers of condoms in those funny sizes that, you know, you kind of wonder if it's true or not. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, so that kind of a, you know, you find all that stuff.
Okay. Cool. Interesting. And I'm sure there's many, many more things that you probably can't even come to the top of your head.
I can get a little prudish sometimes. This might be the moment.
Yes. All right. So what's your favorite color? And do you have a favorite color?
I would say the most favorite color for interior design is blue. I think that's consistent. Shades of blue, peacock blue is pretty popular right now. Sky blue is always been pretty popular. You know, it's interesting to be, you know.
My apartment is blue, by the way. I've got three different kinds of blue because I did three different kinds of blue to try to trick myself into thinking I have a bigger apartment with lots of different rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people do that. So I'd say blue is probably the overall color. We'd have to ask, you know, one of the colorists, like Benjamin Moore or something, to really know what sells the most. But consistently through my 25 years, the request for blue has always been the biggest choice. My personal colors, my husband would say, oh, again with the spice palette, which would be like paprika and curry, olive. I love those sort of earthen, sort of darker, kind of enriched colors. Certainly, my apartment is that. Our house is pretty much white and gray and black and camel and brown. It's all sort of neutral tones, no color at all, which people comment all the time.
Right.
But I think that the colors in my garden.
Yes.
And again, it's a part of discovery. It's a part of journey, that kind of a thing.
So, is there, like, any colors that you just won't use?
Yeah, there's certain colors that I think are inappropriate.
Like, for instance?
Well, I don't think you should use brown in a bathroom. I mean, to be perfectly honest. So,
does it merge?
It you know, we react to color. You know, it's what we do. That's a gross example of that, but... Right. And then red doesn't have a lot of place, I think. Now, this is all personal opinions. But, you know, if you look at the great artists, the great paintings, there's a dot of red. Michelangelo in a painting, or Leonardo da Vinci, or anybody, Caravaggio, anybody used a spot of red.
Right.
A spot of red to draw your attention. And then when you walk into a house and it's all red.
Oh, God.
Right. So, or a red wall or
whatever.
So red, I think, personally... in my design is a limited color. We use it sparsely because it has so much power to it. Mm-hmm. The red has so much power. There's great books out there about how red is a great journey of color, right? It came from the Spice Roads, and then until they discovered Mexico and South America, the royals in Europe never could recreate red. No. And then they were able to recreate red by an insect in Mexico, and that became one of the greatest things of all time. And they brought that dye back to Europe in the 15th century and stuff, and then all the royals started to wear red.
Yes.
But Europe couldn't create red. So there's a lot of passion and a lot of history to red, and it should be used limited.
Very limitedly. What was I going to ask you? I was going to ask you something. What's the worst experience with color that you've ever had? Somebody insisted on.
Well, I don't know that somebody insisted on it, whether I made a mistake. I mean, you know, one of the things is...
Yeah, what happens when you make a mistake?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you choose to believe that it's art, mm-hmm. you're going to mess up. And you're going to have to recalibrate, and you're going to have to rethink, you know, and you're going to have to change your mind about it. It's why we test a lot. We do a lot of testing, because every time we make a decision, it costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So we'd rather spend hundreds of dollars testing than not. So certain colors just don't work, right? Color, North American color, New York. The way the light is in New York and Connecticut is different than the way the light is where I grew up in Southern California. It's different than the way the light is in London. So you can't get excited by a magazine cover.
Because you got to figure out,
is it appropriate to the way the light comes into my house?
Right.
You can use it as an inspiration, but you got to find the right shade of that, or the right quality of it, or the what we would say the right value of that color. So, yeah, I made tons of mistakes. You know, I mean, I think you want to stay as far away from hospital green as possible, you know, is just one example of that. And, you know, go from there. Yeah, there's all kinds of bad colors.
You know what I'm getting from you in just having this conversation is that when you hire an interior designer, you're hiring not just the man that you see in front of you, but you're hiring the years and years of experience. And also, when I listen to you, I'm listening to you talk about history and talk about lighting and talk about color. And so it says to me that you do a lot of traveling and you're interested in a lot of history and you read a lot of books and you, you know, engage in a lot of your artistry. Am I right to say this?
Yeah, I mean, I think I do it every day.
Right.
You know, I mean, I literally think I do it every day. So we haven't even talked about budgets or anything like that. So I'll go real quick and use that as an example. Budgets are a big part of running a successful interior design firm. What I like to say is that if I exceed your budget, the first thing you're going to say to your friends when they walk in the door, oh, yeah, it was beautiful, but he spent twice as much.
Right.
That doesn't serve me well at all. It doesn't serve them well at all. Why do I bring that up? Because one of the things, and I don't want to, you know, pull men out of this conversation, but when we are working through budgets and stuff and you look at a sofa that could be potentially $25,000, right? $30,000, and go, oh, are you crazy? And I'll say to him, when was the last time you bought a sofa?
Right.
Chances are maybe never. Maybe their first apartment. Could have been from Crate and Barrel for $1,500, $2,500, right? Well, they're living in a 20,000 square foot Greenwich new constructed mansion.
Right.
So the living room sofa, chances are, isn't going to be $1,500 from Crate and Barrel, nor should it be.
Right.
So what I say to him is, hey, I look at sofas every day. Mm-hmm. I know that a good quality sofa is going to be this much. We don't have to buy that sofa, but that's why we use budgets. That's, you know, that's what budgets are for. If you want to spend less on that and more on this, we can do that. But when we do that, it's like toilets. You know, does anybody even know what their toilet looks like? There's hundreds of toilets out there.
Hundreds of toilets.
Right. So until you get into interior design, you don't even pay attention to the profile of a toilet and what that profile represents and means. Right. So it's that kind of a thing.
Okay. So we're coming to the end of our show.
No.
Yes, it's gone really fast.
So
right?
fast.
So far. See, nothing to worry about. So I wanted to find out, is there anything, I'd like you to give out your email address, you know, like where can people reach you and, you know.
So, well, obviously we're on Facebook. Obviously we're on Instagram. Yes. I don't know what those addresses are.
Your email yeah. address.
So, and then my email address is David at davidtheergartnerinteriors.com. Uh-huh. And so the spelling of which should
is
we do?
T-H.
I-E-R-G-A-R-T-N-E-R. That's correct. It's I before E. That's always the big problem.
Right.
Yeah,
I always mess up. But
it means zookeeper. And so sometimes I live, right? It means, tier means beast, tier means animal, gardener means keeper. So
keeper of the beast?
Keeper of the beast.
Oh, we like that.
Sometimes I think that's true.
So, David, I just want to thank you for coming on my show and maintaining my beast.
Thank you. Your wild animal.
My wild animal self.
Thank you, Nori.
So thank you for coming on the show, and it was a pleasure, and thank you. We learned a lot. I need another hour just to be with you, but, you know, we don't have it, so you'll come on again, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and everyone else, goodbye. Good luck. Have a fantastic week. And I'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat station. This is Noreen Sumter signing off from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And you should live life your way. Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.